Cleaning Nation, it is time. Time to have some fun, to soak up some wisdom, and give you everything you need to grow your cleaning company. Do you love the show? Is your life better as a member of Cleaning Nation? Don't lie. If it is, hook us up. Show us some love on iTunes with a 5-star rating and review. If you hate the show, if it's no good, feel free to send me an angry email telling me that I'm the worst human being ever, and I'll, nothing a couple extra sessions of counseling won't help. If you're getting massive value, long story short, spread the love. Share the show, tell your friends, all that good stuff. Today, we are chatting with Andre Zagara from Eco Green Office Cleaning. I got to stop drinking before I go live, man. Eco Green serves the southeastern Virginia area with office cleaning. If you want to reach out to Andre's, you can get a hold of him at www.ecogreenofficecleaningservices. That's too many letters, man. Ecogreenofficecleaningservices.com. Andre's, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right, well, there we go. Great show, guys. Glad we had a good time. No, just kidding. I don't know where to go from. Thank you. Tell us a little bit about you, man. Are you married? Are you single? Do you got kids, cats, turtles? What's going on in your world?
Yes, I am married, 15 years, and no kids, and I used to have a turtle. So
I totally did not know that. What are the chances that I would do the deep turtle pull? So how'd you get into the Southeast Virginia, and how'd you get into the commercial cleaning game?
Well, my mother started a cleaning business when I was a teenager, and it was just kind of something to supplement her income on, you know, on the evenings or weekends. And so that was really my first exposure. I would help her on, we cleaned lawyers' offices, and she also did a little bit of post-construction cleaning, so we kind of did some of that. But so that's really where I think I got my first exposure to the industry. And then, you know, after graduating school, got a job, then kind of went to the 9-to-5 route working for someone else. And after a while, I realized I was still an entrepreneur. I've had other little businesses on the side before, and I was like, I really need to go and do my own thing. And so that's kind of where I went back to cleaning, because I read a book. Hopped online, I purchased a book about the industry, how to start a cleaning business. And it was something I could invest a smaller amount of money initially to get things going. And so that's where I was at, and that's what we ended up doing. And here it is, 9 years later, we're still doing it.
All right, so when you were a kid helping your mom cleaning, I know I was a terrible teenager, and I would have been, I don't want to say furious, but I, like, embarrassed, or kind of like, this sucks, and how? Why, mom, you're the worst, and how would I do this? Were you kind of like getting like, was it just something you did? Did you hate it? Did you love it? How did you feel about it at the time?
No, I didn't mind. You know, I was making money, so as a teenager, you know, you do anything at that point for a job. So I enjoyed it, and yeah, I did the easy stuff, took out the trash and stuff. You know, so she took care of the heavier duty cleaning, but yeah, it wasn't too bad. It was doable. So.
All right. Yeah, actually, I was thinking, for some reason, I was just thinking I would be stuck doing it for free. But I guess as a teenager, had my mom thrown me a couple shekels to help her out, it would have been a different perspective. All right. Well, let's jump in, man. How can I help you today? What's going on in your world, your business, that I can bring you some value?
Well, typically, with our hiring process, you know, we'll put an ad out and we'll get responses from like Indeed.com or something like that. And we will get so many calls or emails, you know, from the site letting us know we have 80 people that applied for the job, and we kind of have to like screen them and make these phone calls to, I guess, the top candidates, and then interview each one individually. And it's a kind of a lengthy process, especially oftentimes in our industry, we're in a rush, unfortunately, to hire someone, maybe start within the week. So we're, and then one podcast, you were talking about group interviews, and that's a new concept for me. It seems like it'd be a time saver, but I just don't really know how to connect with individuals in a group interview, or maybe what is a group interview, I guess I should be asking.
Okay, cool. That's a great question. I would say 46% of what I do is how to get the right employees and keep them. 46% is how to get the right customers and keep them. And I can't do math, but the rest is other nonsense. So that's a big one. And I think that I know I can give you a lot of value, but I think Cleaning Nation will definitely get some value from that. So let's start, as I'm wont to do, with the foundational concepts that kind of prop up the whole this whole process. And then we'll talk about logistically how to actually do it. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. So first and foremost, you said something that is so typical. And if you hear nothing else in this podcast, you're going to, not just you, but Clean Nation, you're going to come away with a ton of value just from this. You said, we're always in a rush, right? We need to hire someone this week, right? And that's so much of the pain that I work through my one-on-one clients with is the, I had, nobody quit for the last 2 or 3 weeks and life's been good. And all of a sudden, 3 of my best people quit same day and I'm just stuck. And you know as well as I do, that process generally takes at the best 3 or 4 days, at the absolute best, and at the worst 2 or 3 weeks to get someone that's, and usually the 2 or 3 day guys or gals aren't the ones that are going to stay and be good employees and live forever and life's great. And the 2 or 3 week people that you kind of make it through the process, it's a lot more painful, but they stay longer. But you're like 2 or 3 days, 2 or 3 weeks, I need someone tomorrow. Does that at all sound familiar to you in your world, Andres?
Yeah, it definitely has happened. And what to help is referrals from current cleaners, especially if you like their work. So if you say, hey, you do a great job, do you have a cousin, a brother, a sister, someone that you know that does good work? And sometimes they can refer someone to you. But then sometimes, like you mentioned, you're kind of stuck in a situation where you don't want to cancel the cleaning. I can't go clean it myself because I got a company to run, so I'm trying to find someone as soon as possible. And so, yeah, you get stuck in that situation once in a while.
Okay, and that's common. Definitely not trying to beat you up or make you feel bad. That is so common. So the key is, first and foremost, to have the right way of thinking about it. The wrong-headed thinking a lot of people have is, I'm good, I'm fully staffed, and when I become not fully staffed, then I'll go find somebody. The problem is that creates what you said is now we're in a rush, right? We're looking to get someone tomorrow, but we know that the process, let's just call it a week. If you've got a good process, takes a week. So the way to fix that is to kind of, and you hinted at it with asking employees, hey, do you know anyone? Who do you know? And kind of always being on the lookout for the next great employee, whether you're quote-unquote fully staffed or not. Anytime you're a healthy, growing company, you're never fully staffed. You're always looking for good talent, right? If you had an A-player cleaner that could just do everything you want him to do, would you hire him? Most people would say yes. And I go, great. What systems do you have in place that are attracting that guy to come to you? And they go, none. Well, those unicorns don't just fall out of the sky, right? You got to do something. So the trick is to move away from, I hire cleaners when I need them, which equals I'm in a rush and I need someone right now. And then you kind of fall for that warm body syndrome, which is the guy or gal across from you says they'll show up and you are desperate. So you say yes. And half the time they don't even show up. And the other half they show up drunk or terrible. To get away from that, we're going to create systems just like customers, right? If you're like, I need a customer in the next 20 minutes, I don't have a lot of coaching for you. But if you're like, I need 5 customers or 10 customers the next month, I've got a lot of strategies that can work. You need time. So same thing with employees. Instead of waiting until we need somebody and then scrambling, let's create a system where we've got a constant flow of qualified employees coming to you, prospective employees coming to you, and you just weed out the best ones and take them. And guess what? If you're like, well, I only have 0 spots right now or 1 spot, well, what happens if you get 1 or 2 or 3? Because again, you might, like you said, get 80 calls, but of those 80 calls, you might get 1.5 decent applicants and, 1 rock star. Well, gosh, wouldn't you love that rock star to be there even if you're quote unquote fully staffed? If that rock star is better than your worst employee, maybe it's time to make a change. If you have nothing but A talent, which is unusual, you can still put that person on the bench. So when it comes time to, when you kind of have that quote unquote surprise need or surprise opening, which they aren't surprised. We know people quit all the time, but every time someone quits, we're surprised. Like, oh my gosh, I had no idea someone was going to quit. Sure you did. This happens every month. You just didn't plan for it. So part of the planning is having that kind of bench of good people where it's just like in football, next man up, right? This guy's out. Instead of worrying about him, I got 3 more guys or gals waiting to take your spot, and they're all fantastic. And instead of going into that pool of the 80 applicants from Indeed that you don't have any history with, you're going to go into the pool of 2 or 3 people that you talked to last week or 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago that you thought would be a great fit, but you just didn't have a spot for them. When that spot opens up, you're going to go to them first as opposed to starting cold. Does that make sense as a concept?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Well, now let's answer your question and talk about how a group interview can achieve that. The big thing is you need to have a system. So many people kind of just do the, like, we kind of tell people, if I see someone that's good, and maybe I'll mention we have a job, or I'll ask my employees who they know. And though I'm not saying those are bad things. It's just bad when that you think that's a system or you're dependent on that to grow your company because you're choking yourself. You can't do it. What a system looks like is, first of all, you have the right ad, and I'll link to some core values podcasts that we've done. But to get the right ad, the ad needs to really just scream the core values that you are. So you're kind of turning away the people that don't line up and really attracting the people that believe the same core beliefs that you have. So the ad is really important. A lot of people just do boring stuff like, hi, room for improvement. We pay better than anyone else. On the job training. Mm-hmm. Call now, right? And it's every other ad says the exact same thing. So you're just a bunch of vanilla amongst a bunch of vanilla. Be chocolate out there, man. Tell them who you are and why you're different and kind of paint a picture of what being a part of your community looks like. So it all starts with the ad, and that's a system, right? Don't just throw up an ad. Be careful about the words that you choose, and know that if you put out certain words, you know, if you're like, hey, we're looking for neo-Nazi violent people, guess who you're going to get? And if you, you know, so tell people what you want and, you know, turn away the people that you don't want just from the ad. So when you get those 80 calls, instead of having, you know, maybe one guy that's half decent, you might have three or four good contacts. So don't overestimate the power of that ad. That's the first part. Second part is have a plan for when they call. So many people, the call just goes right to the owner. And the owner's like doing something different, or maybe he's available. And depending on if he gets voicemail or if he's talking with someone or if he's got a minute, he'll either give a really good kind of on the phone interview, or he'll give a really crappy one, or he'll miss, it'll go to voicemail and then he'll call it back and it's a bunch of phone tag. And it's overwhelming because you like you said, you put it out and 80 people call in all at once and you're just like, I got a business to run, right? So it kind of goes anywhere from they get your voicemail and nothing happens all the way to you get a guy and you and he get chatty and you're talking on the phone for 30 minutes and now you've wasted a half hour of your life. You want to replace that with, of course, a system. So you're going to have two or three quick questions that you're going to do. And I wouldn't have that go to the owner, by the way. I'd have it go to even another cleaner. But if you've got two or three quick questions that just meant to disqualify, like, you know, I'm just going to make them up. Obviously, this will be different for each of you out there, Clean Nation. But do you have a driver's license? Are you looking for part-time or full-time? Have you cleaned before? Are you, if we do a background check, is that going to come out okay? What about drug testing? So just, you know, kind of the, you guys all know the low-hanging fruit where you've talked to enough people and you're like, man, I disqualify half of them with these two questions, right? Whatever those two questions are in your world, ask those two questions, or even better, pay a $10 an hour employee to ask those two questions. And if they don't qualify right off the bat, they're looking for full-time, you only do part-time or vice versa, or, you know, they're, you know, 106 and don't physically are unable or whatever the case may be. Great. You just saved half the time. And it should just be, like I said, 82-minute conversations. It shouldn't be this long, drawn out. You're not, the only thing you're kind of selling or getting done on this call is, do you invite them to the group interview or not? That's it. You're not trying to hire them or see if they'd be good. People that do that, it's too much pressure for one call. When you've got 80 of those calls, you can't possibly. So the trick for that is create the two or three questions that's going to eliminate 80% of the bad ones, and just invite everyone else in. That's it. And to delegate that to somebody else. And it shouldn't be, don't let them be talking for 10 minutes. It should be 2 minutes. Do you have this? Do you do this? No. Thanks a lot. You're not a fit. Yes. Oh, we've got a group interview this Thursday at 2:00. We'd love to see you there. And the good thing is you've got that group interview. So instead of the big shift is, instead of that dynamic of now you set up five interviews and two of them call and reschedule, two don't show up, one dude does show up and he's awful but wastes an hour of your time. Now you're into this whole thing like 6 hours in a week and it's frustrating work and you get nothing done. If you and your entire team know that Tuesdays at noon or Thursdays at 5:30 p.m. or whatever your time is, there's always going to be an interview. You can just have those 80 people constantly streaming in, and instead of inviting 80 people, you invite 12, right? Maybe a bunch of them just don't qualify, and of those 12, maybe six show up. Well, guess what? In, you know, less than an hour, because he just had a bunch of those two-minute conversations, you've taken that list of 80 and gotten it down to a pretty solid 12 or 6 or 3 or 9 or whoever shows up. So far, are you with me? I know I'm going fast.
Yeah, I guess it's somewhat similar. What I was doing is, I guess, scheduling one-on-one interviews, but I'd schedule them 15 minutes apart each. So in an hour, I'd have four set up, and then one or two might show up. So I don't know. Is that what you would consider group interviewing?
No, that's better than most. Okay. You've at least identified the, hey, I've got for five interviews, it might take a bunch of time. But then when you get someone that you really want to talk to, A, you're still stuck dealing with a bunch of chuckleheads that may or may not even qualify. So again, The process is you've got a really good ad that's going to eliminate a lot of the people that aren't a fit right off the bat. So the people that are calling are generally the right people. You've got the two or three questions that are going to eliminate all the low-hanging fruit of, we don't hire people without driver's licenses, I'm sorry, or whatever the case may be. So you eliminate them. The next hurdle is they've got to show up for the group interview. And again, even if it's 15 minutes apart, you're still stuck. If you got five interviews, it's like an hour and a half, 2 hours of your time just sitting around twiddling your thumbs. And then if number three shows up and he's good and you want to spend more time with them, but then four shows up and they're awful, you're kind of in this weird spot of, okay, wait in the lobby. And it's just an awkward situation. Whereas if you set up this group interview, you know from, you know, let's just call it Tuesdays at 5:30, every Tuesday from 5:30 to 6:30, you're going to have a group interview. That's it. There's no other time. There's no other whatever. And you're going to have ideally, you know, 2 to 8 people. Obviously, if you only have one, it's not a group interview and you should probably go every other week, right? You need more people to make that worth your time. If you get more than 8, you can't really talk to everybody. It gets overwhelming. So, what you're doing with the 15 minutes is better than scheduling an hour, but not as good as the group situation. So the group situation, there's a couple parts to it. The first part is before they get there, you want to watch everybody. And the two things I look for is when do they show up? Bonus points if they're early, 5 or 10 minutes early and show up, you know, ready to roll. Bonus points if they're dressed like they're looking for a job, not that they're, you know, ready to go down to the swimming pool. And then how do they interact with each other? A lot of what I found for me makes a good team member is friendly, outgoing, not defensive. So I look at all three of those things. So I just wait, right? And I tell them to, you know, they all just show up and, you know, maybe an office or, you know, you can do a restaurant if you don't have an office or whatever. But I just watch and I look at when they show up, what they're wearing, how do they interact with everybody? So I don't come out until, you know, right at 5:30 and I kind of watch everybody before that. So that's the first part of the interview. The second part of the interview is you're going to have maybe 8 or 10 questions, and everybody's going to answer at least one. So everybody doesn't answer every question because that, you know, you've got five people, the fifth person's going to have a better answer than the first because he heard the first four go and he's had time to kind of craft his answer. So you're going to have like 8 or 10 questions, you're just randomly going to pick them per person. And when you do that, the way that you're going to do that, again, I don't want the owner having to do this stuff. So the way you get out of it is you give the question and then the answer. So, you know, if you've got a, if one of your core values is teamwork, the question is going to be, tell me, if your partner doesn't show up, what do you do? You know, you don't say, hey, how do you feel about teamwork? Because they're obviously going to go, I love teamwork, boss. That's the best. You ask a question where the answer kind of tells you how they feel about things. And then you give the answer to the person interviewing. So you say, if my team member doesn't show up, here's what I don't want them to do is they say, well, I go home. Well, that's a fail answer. They say, well, I call my supervisor. That's a pass answer. Or they say, man, I hope he's okay because, I want to make sure he's not sick or everything's okay with him. I might call him. That's like a superstar answer. So you kind of give those, you give an answer key, right? Here's the questions to ask. Here's what you're looking for. So it's very standardized. And whether you give the interview or someone else gives the interview or the interviewer is having a good day or bad day, it doesn't matter because they've got the answers. They've got the questions and the answers. They just propose the questions and you tell them what the right answer looks like and what the wrong answer looks like. And then you also watch the people that aren't answering the question. If they're on their phone, if they're looking around, if they're being disrespectful, that's a bad indicator. If they're attentive and looking at the person answering the question, that's probably a good team member. That's how you conduct a group interview. You only need 8 to 12 answers, or questions and answers. You give those to the interview person. It doesn't have to be you. And everybody answers 1 to 3 questions. But you're watching everybody all the time, even when they're answering and when they're not answering. That's a really quick overview. But does that kind of give you at least the basics to give this thing a try?
Yeah, I would definitely like to get a list of questions that you would recommend.
Yeah, I would honestly, that would be something I'd have to walk through you one-on-one because it would be really the questions are all based on your core values. They would all be like, so each question, each core value, we work through and create 2 or 3 questions that would indicate whether they have that core value or not. The trick is you don't tell them the core values and then ask them if they're into them because everyone's going to say yes. So my core values when I have my company was have fun, make money, be real, and help out. Well, what I would do is I didn't say in my ads, hey, are you looking to make money, help out, have fun, and be real? I would be real in my ads. We'd be transparent. We wouldn't talk like everyone else. We would talk like us. And the ads would be fun. We wouldn't tell people we were fun. We would just be fun. So again, the big trick is you're not telling them the core values and ask them if they agree. Everyone's going to say yes. You're kind of giving them the opportunity without telling them which core value you're looking for to demonstrate how they would act. And then based on that their response, you kind of get an idea of if they really truly line up with their core values or not. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So yeah, it's not that I have the questions I'm not willing to share. It's just those would be customized business to business. Okay. That said, I have gone long because you got me on a topic I really get excited about, but I want to make sure we give you the opportunity to get back to Cleaning Nation. We're going to hit the lightning round. I'm going to give you three quick questions. You are going to give three spectacular answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
The best advice, especially when it comes to really anything in life, but especially in business, is to never give up. We come across, especially as the owner, we deal with the problems, we deal with all types of issues, and that's can be discouraging to some people, and they may feel like, oh, maybe I should do something different or go back to working a job and this and that, and then it can be discouraging if we have an attitude that we're just going to give up when the first problem happens. So we have to understand that giving up is not an option, and we deal with issues as they come up, and we move on and have a positive mental attitude, and don't quit, because, you know, whenever there's a downtime, there's always going to be an up positive time as well. There's always a equal reaction to that negativity. So that's one thing I have always done is kept me motivated and going, is never give up, especially when things are going slower now.
Couldn't agree more. If I could pick one thing in an employee other than integrity, it would definitely be that tenacity, not giving up. What's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that maybe we can learn from?
I think this is something that a lot of people mistake that make. I think for us was being slow to fire. I have loyalty, obviously, for my people and my staff, and I want them to work out. And sometimes their personal lives get in the way, and we make exceptions, understanding their situations with kids and single mothers' situations, stuff like that. But sometimes, and it gets to the point where it's starting to affect the work or the client's cleaning always being rescheduled because they couldn't come in because of a personal issue. You hate to let someone go, but sometimes when their personal life starts to interfere with the business, then we've been hesitant to let them go. And it and led to one situation where we knew someone personally that was working for us. And they, long story short, got involved in some stealing. And we addressed them after the first accusation. They said it wasn't them. So we took the benefit of the doubt there. Second accusation came from a second client, same worker. And then right then and there, I should have said, okay, this is probably not a coincidence. We love you. See you on Saturday, but we can't work tonight. Can't work with us on the business side anymore.
For sure.
But we allowed it one last time. And, a larger, more serious item was stolen, and person now is locked up. So, and I lost my biggest contract because of it. So when the little accusations came up, we should have addressed it sooner and quicker. But it was our first time dealing with a situation like this, so I guess there was no manual for us to follow. But I think that was our biggest mistake, and losing our largest client because of it was a little disaster we had to go through a couple years ago. So that's our biggest mistake, and hopefully Cleaning Nation will make sure that, don't be slow to fire, even if it's someone that you know personally.
Yeah, if they're telling you they need to go, listen. All right, last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice right away to improve their lives or their business?
This is something that I'm focusing on more so recently, and really just having better communication with our clients. In our industry, as you know, we hardly ever see the customer because we're there after hours, and they're there when we're not there. So it's important to stay in touch. We send out once a year, a thank you card, thanking them for their business. We're starting quality control phone calls and courtesy calls, just asking, hey, how's everything been going the last few months? How's the cleanings? Are you satisfied? And if everything is good, then we can always upsell them. By the way, we do window washing, carpet cleaning, this and that. And gives you an opportunity just to kind of converse a little bit with the client, at least, once every few months, just to make sure everything's on the up and up. So the last thing you want is bad communication. And then one day you get a cancellation letter. You're like, hey, what happened?
Yeah,
I haven't had any complaints.
Those are the worst. You know, the one to just wander off into the ether. Yeah, yeah. I'll take a complaint. Yeah, we don't like complaints, but they're far better than the alternative, which is just, we've made a change. Hey, Andres, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know that Clean Nation appreciates you. Clean Nation, if you want to check out Andres' show notes page and, of course, get all the tools you need to grow your cleaning company, you know, growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.